All right, we are joined by Kyle Apps with International Committee on Nigeria. Kyle, welcome. Thanks for joining us. I was hoping to hear a little bit about an important issue today in terms of what's going on with Christians in Nigeria. But to start out, just kind of give us a little bit of your background and how you got involved in this cause.
Yeah, well, great. Thanks for having me and being able to share. I lived in Nigeria since June of 2000, took my wife and my one-year-old son over. We went as missionaries and started to work amongst widows and orphans who were persecuted. Some are Christian, some are Muslim, but the overarching thing was they were persecuted as widows, and then developed into things trying to reach out other persecuted people, helping out with other attacks that have been kind of slightly going on. But over the past 10 years, really saw the increase of Muslim persecution against Christians. So we, myself, my colleague, my co-founder, Stephen Inada, who is a Nigerian, began to really try to figure out how we can help Nigerians specifically, advocating for them here in the D.C. or here in the U.S. in the D.C. world of the political legislation and impacting international involvement in trying to put pressure on the Nigerian government to change.
What have been some of the biggest hurdles that you guys have kind of encountered in trying to get solutions for this?
Well, I think for if you talk to anyone in Nigeria, whether it's a person on the street, in the village, on a farm, in a taxi cab or wherever, their thing is having faith is crucial to their being. So whether I'm a Christian or a Muslim, they believe that. But when you're persecuted, when you're attacked for those beliefs, when you're told you shouldn't be a Christian, you can't be a Christian because you're inferior, whatever, that's where the struggle comes in. So when we come back with these voices, these testimonies to the U.S., you know, people who are aware of Christian and work like that can understand that. But the politicians, predominantly people in the State Department, USAID, don't want to hear that. They want to remove religion out of the whole thing and just call it, oh, it's a communal clash. They just happen to be Christians. They happen to be Muslims. Oh, this is so they're not addressing the real root of the problem. That yes, this is an ethnic problem with some of the tribes in Nigeria, but by and large, this is a religious problem.
And how difficult has it been, kind of just to get the news of this situation out there? Because there's plenty of stuff that happens here, you know, yeah, in our own backyard that people pay attention to, but you know, what you guys have to really find a way to do is just kind of inform people, and it's hard to care if you don't know first.
Right. And I mean, that's a big thing too. Another hurdle here is some people are more wanting to hear about the COVID or the racial issues that we're having in the United States, which are very important. We need to be discussing these things and having these arguments or these forums for this discussion. But at the same time, you're looking at the U.S. as the home of the world's democracy. So this administration has put out a lot of great work to bring in international religious freedom, to help the cause of Uyghurs, of Muslims in China, of different people in different cultures. Some people are atheists. Some don't even have a religion. But this government has tried to do that. And then every time you turn, something's slapping him in the face. COVID and how they handle COVID or now it's the racial issues and how we, so they're not, they're all these other issues that are outside of America are being ignored, and it's going to come to our doorstep soon enough. You know, if this situation in Nigeria is not handled correctly, it'll cause a global pandemic of immigration, of people already fleeing Nigeria, of international crisis, of instability in Africa that would affect Europe, which will affect the U.S. So we've got to keep the front burner going, but then not ignore what's going on in the back burner, these other issues around the world.
So with all that said, I guess what we should let you do is kind of take the time and talk a little bit more kind of extensively on what it is specifically, one, that ICON does, and two, exactly what the situation in Nigeria is like, as best you can.
Yeah. No, thanks. So ICON, I mean, we didn't start out to be in the political realm, as it were, but we started to try to bring hope and change, cause dialogue in Nigeria, but we realized quickly that we are banging our head often in Nigeria. So we tried to help. It didn't work. Politicians, local politicians there weren't often helpful. So the argument we brought here was, how can we, like I said before, bring that change from the influence of the American government into the international scene of Nigeria. So we were advocating. We'd go around to congressmen, senators, like Senator Ernst and Senator Grassley in Iowa, who have signed the letters, taken up the cause to send a special envoy, which is one of our first biggest asks, is an envoy from the U.S. government, from a presidential envoy sent to Nigeria to be over above the ambassador level, above others level, that the president and the State Department can relate to directly, to bring in change. Again, we're not coming in on our big white horse of America is going to change the day or save the day. But it's saying that America is looked upon as a democratically led world, you know, that we're trying to bring about this democracy around the world and show people what it's like. So the State Department, we engaged with the State Department at various levels to send this envoy. And at the same time, keep Nigeria and other countries accountable with what they receive from the American government. We've sent over almost $1 billion every year for the past 3 or 4 years to Nigeria for conflict resolution, for relief and development, to help internally displaced people. So where's that money going? How is it being used? Is it being used? So
when you go and you have these conversations with these senators or congressmen or politicians, and maybe they're not as receptive as what you hope, how do you kind of get it through to them? I think the point you just made with the funding that we're giving, we should be trying to make sure that that's being used as best it can. How do you try to get through to them that it does matter if initially they're kind of hesitant, or are they all very receptive right away?
Well, again, it depends where they're coming from. I mean, we were very surprised and happy to see the Iowa senators really involved in this, where places like Texas or Georgia, the Georgia Senator Loeffler is very supportive. She signed on with Senator Ernst in a letter. But places like California, New York, where a large amount of Nigerian immigrants, maybe Nigerians that came 20, 30 years ago, studied here, became citizens, got a job here, are productive voting members of society, have children here who have gone on to be academics, gone on to be professional athletes or show people or musical people, who are now are legitimate American citizens who have Nigerian heritage. So we try to use that sometimes, say, hey, look, here in Texas, Houston has one of the largest populations of Nigerians, whether it's first or second or third generations, but they're here. They're here in America to be a productive member, but they're also connected to Nigeria itself, sending money home back to their family members who didn't get out or couldn't get out or not able to get out of Nigeria for safe and security. So as much as we can, we try to relate like that, as well as just there's a situation of a girl, Leah Sharibu, who was kidnapped with 110 of her school girl classmates. She's the only one that's kept back because she didn't confess to be a Muslim. So they kept her back because she was a Christian. So we try to say this girl has been, taken captive, not been released for almost 2.5 years now. What are we doing to help girls like that around the world? You say you want to help gender issues and talk about that. Here's one that's been captive and is, in fact, a prisoner of conscience by the United States International Religious Freedom Organization that's funded by the U.S. government. So they've recognized it, but why haven't other people as well?
You mentioned some of the steps that the administration has taken to try to strengthen international religious liberty, I guess, even, you know, beyond the borders of America. Talk a little bit kind of more about that and if that's been a surprise or if it's what you expected from the administration and how that's worked out.
So, I mean, when Obama was elected president, you know, a couple of years ago, I was actually in Nigeria, and everyone in Nigeria around Africa thought this is great. Finally, there's an African who descended from Africa. His father was a Kenyan. Here he is. Now he's president. Anything can happen in America. We want to go to America. We want to be like America because someday we could be president. Well, in his 8 years, he did very little, if anything, to help Africa, specifically Nigeria. Trump comes along 2016, and he's not afraid to face the president of Nigeria and say, There are people dying in your country. You need to do something about it. There are Christians dying in your country. You need to protect them. And I, when he said that in the Rose Garden on the day, the next day, I was actually traveling to Nigeria. The next day, I was in a governor's office, and he says, all hell's breaking loose because of what your president said to my president. That president was quickly mobilized generals and troops and sent them all around to try to make a show that he's actually doing something. So this president that we have now talks, his administration does things, and we see changes around the world.
And then you talked about Senator Ernst and Senator Grassley a little bit already. Both have kind of taken this on. And I guess just as an Iowan, speaking as myself, it's kind of cool to see Iowa senators take on an issue like this that has far-reaching implications and not ignore it, I guess, which some, right. It'd be easy for some people to do, I think.
Yeah. And that's just it. I mean, what does he gain from doing this, or what does she gain from doing this? You know, not much. You can't take it back to your constituents to say, I helped Nigeria. That may not resonate, but in the rest of the world, Nigerians know Senator Ernst, Senator Grassley. I kid you not that we've shared the letter that they sent, and people are very appreciative of what is happening in the Senate, that they're sticking up for them in the U.S. as well.
So is there anything in particular people can do if they want to get involved or help you guys out? I guess really with anything that the organization does or that you guys are working on.
Sure. There's two things. One is go to our silentslaughternigeria.com webpage. We have an incident tracker. We try to track all the killings, all the attacks that are happening. So we're going to keep that up to date. Every time we hear of something, or there's an article written in a Nigerian newspaper, or someone informs the people, so we verify it and then we report on it. So it's like a calendar. You can click on the number of deaths, the number of incidents, and that kind of stuff on silentslaughternigeria.com. And then once you're on that, click on the petition on the change.org petition to send in a special envoy to Nigeria and the Lake Chad area, because we need that person. The Nigeria needs that. Just to say, hey, Nigerians need to hear that someone is concerned about what's going on. The American government, again, is not coming in as the heroes, but they're going to come in to keep things accountable, keep things on task, and bring sustainability, bring back democracy back to Nigeria.
Do you ever give much thought to more than maybe the next step down the road? Because, I mean, you're probably in it for the long haul, and there's probably a lot of work to do. So what do you envision kind of the future being of the organization and also the efforts that you're undergoing right now? I mean, when you think grand scheme of things, success looks like this, you know, because it's going to take a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where we know that Nigeria has potential. Africa could, I mean, Nigeria is 190, almost 200 million people. It's the largest populated country in all of Africa, bigger than South Africa, bigger than Egypt. It's the largest population. And they should be driving farming. They should be driving technology advancements, industrial stuff, but they've been limited. They've been subjected to bad leaders who've stolen money, killed people, done terrible things. So we want to help the next generation now by showing the current generation that they're no longer valid, but they're people that we can help with democracy issues, with religious freedom issues, with just advancement and prosperity in their own country, to help them be less dependent on the rest of the world. They shouldn't depend on the U.S. They shouldn't depend on Europe or the U.K. They should be self-sufficient.
All right, Kyle, is there anything else that you want to add that I didn't ask you about, or anything you want to say about the organization?
No, we just appreciate this opportunity. And again, just keep involved. Check our websites, sign up for our mailing list, all that stuff. So appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.